This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
And welcome to the Elocution Podcast. I'm your host, Elo Black, and today I have with us a fantastic, ultra dynamic, super duper awesome person, actress, singer, just wowza, Jaylynn Steele. Jaylynn, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello! How's that? Everyone. Oh my gosh. So much fun.
Thank you so much for being with us today. You rock the house, girl.
Yes, now,
Jaylynn, you and I met in college. It was like 2 years ago, but we'll get to that.
Let's start
before we get to your fantastic Broadway career. Let's start at the very beginning. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
So a few years ago, I was born in a little town called Lamarck, Texas. Actually, it was Texas City, Texas, which was our high school rival, but that's a whole other story. I went to school in Lamarck, Texas, and I went to the school there and graduated in 1999.
Right.
After that, I decided to sort of go into a field of study that not very many people around me know about, but I felt sort of a connection with singing and dancing and acting sort of in high school, and majored in musical theater at San Houston State University, where I met the wonderful, eloquent Elo Black, and very, very, very funny, who would always make me laugh no matter what, just joy and sunshine.
I remember, I don't know if you did, we were out, we were watching the intramural football.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, we were joking and laughing, and I said, hey, Jaylynn, and you said, oh, no, my name is Boom Shiqua. And I called you that for the rest of the 4 years that we knew each other. And I would say, Boom Shiqua. You know, you would always turn around and said, yep, that's my girl. I was reminding myself that this morning. I said, don't refer to her as Boom when you're talking for the podcast. Call her Jaylynn Steele.
Okay. Boom Shiqua. I mean, for most of the time we've known each other.
Exactly.
Boom Shiqua. So I don't mind at all.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I have to remember why that day my name was Boom Shiqua. You know, college is a very experimental time in one's life.
Yeah, occasional memory lapses and
occasional every now and then. I do remember telling you that my name was Boom Shiqua, and from then on it stuck. I adore
it. So. Did no one else did, but I did. So Jaylynn, seriously, pull out all the stops for me. When did you know that you were a singer, actress, triple threat? When did you know?
I found out growing up, doing in my elementary times and all of that. I was a very, how my mom would put it, excited child, way of saying hyper, because I didn't sit down anywhere. And I was a middle child too. So I'm like, here, look over here. All the time. So they actually started putting me in dance classes when I was, I want to say about 7-8 years old. Mm-hmm. I started doing the dance classes. I started singing at church when I was like 4 or 5. I sang Somewhere Out There from American Tale with Fievel. Mm-hmm. at church. And then slowly toward the high school years, I got into acting. I started doing like the one act plays and things like that. And my theater teacher, Mr. Sheffield, shout out to him. He's incredible. He is the reason why I'm in theater. He sort of had the same aspect. Who is this hyper child? But she's got a lot of energy and she's talented. So let's put it to good use kind of aspect.
Sure.
And he sort of guided me into theater. And then wasn't until my dad asked me, senior in high school, we had just won state and I got best actress. I had gone to Sam Houston at one of the workshops that they had there for theater. Uh-huh. And it kind of started guiding me in, you know, musical theater. And my dad asked me, all right, when you're deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life, keep in mind, somebody called you to do your job. What would you have no problem doing at 3 a.m, getting out of bed and going to do? And I was like, well, I can act a plum fool. I can perform. I can entertain. That's kind of the joy that I kind of spread. And so he was like, well, then there you go. So that's when I ended up auditioning for the musical theater program and kind of getting involved into theater, because I found such a joy and love in it that no matter what time of day, no matter what, it was just something that sort of fulfilled and satisfied me and also satisfied the people that I was performing for. So I kind kind of started feeling that connection, like, high school, senior year of high school. So at Sam Houston, it just kind of nourished all of that energy. Singing, dancing, and acting and everything like that. So kind of a cultivation of everything with my senior year of high school. And I was like, you know what? This is it. Let's do it.
Let's rock. Absolutely. So you performed in several musical workshops and fantastic performances at Sam. And now tell us about, because I was actually living in Chicago for a short time in 2003, and we met up for breakfast. You guys were in town for one day, and you were doing this show, Fosse, I believe, on tour.
Oh, yeah.
But you got cast before you graduated. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are correct. So what happened? I want to say, when was it? It was me, Ty Blue, Sarah Kendrick, and two other people. I can't remember, but the Broadway Theater Project is auditioning people. Broadway Theater Project is amazing because you get to work with all of these people in Florida and end-all be-all of musical theater projects.
Sure, yeah.
I said, you know what? Let's go down to Houston and do it. Yeah, it was actually an amazing audition. It was my junior year at Sam. And so when we went down there to audition, they actually called me. I was so nervous, though, because it was like kind of the first real audition I've had. Because I didn't have, as far as like school and everything, like used to that. But as far as like a professional, I don't know anybody behind that table. Audition, it was the first one I had. So I had no idea what was to become of it. And lo and behold, they actually liked me. I was nervous because the whole time I was singing, they were writing. I was like, pay attention to me. You know, that's the
Do your grocery list later. I'm singing. Okay, I need garlic, onions. So,
right, exactly. Peppers, gotta make sure. So yeah, after that, I realized what they were doing. They were writing down for Fosse. And so they had called me. We accept you into the program. Also, we want you to come and audition in New York. It was a major shock because I had no idea that's what was coming from it. And I think it kind of helped me because if I had known how big and what the magnitude of what I was doing was, I probably would have gotten scared or fearful. Or
absolutely.
I think because I didn't really know what I was doing, it was even better.
Right.
I was just going in, and then lo and behold, I booked the first non-equity tour, and it was the first time I had gone to New York. I went to New York just doe-eyed. Like, my mom was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm like, it's okay, mom. I promise I'll come back. I promise I will.
Right.
And I did, but then I moved out again. I finished the first leg of the tour because we did 96 cities in 9 months, which is insane.
Oh, that is insane.
And so during those 9 months, that was my senior year at Sam Houston State because I was supposed to graduate 2002, but ended up going on tour for 2002 to 2003. And when I finished the first leg of the tour, I came back and my mom was like, we didn't spend all of these dollar bills for you not to get your degree.
Right. Exactly.
At the time, I was like, well, why don't I just move to New York and audition and da da da? And she's like, I really would feel better if you would get your degree and have your degree because you never know what you might need it for. So I was like, sure. You know what? You're right. So came back to do the summer sessions. And thankfully, Dr. Miller, rest his soul, gave me credit for doing the tour.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't know that.
He gave me credit for, I think there were two classes that I had to take for theater. But he was like, you know what? You toured the nation, so we'll just give you credit for those. So
yeah.
He actually gave me credit for some classes. And then I ended up taking the rest of them that summer that I needed to graduate, and then I graduated the summer of 2003, and so I was
amazing.
So thankful too, because I don't know how, because he's also like, it would be a shame for you to have to do a whole nother semester at Sam Houston just for the classes. So
right,
he went ahead and just gave me credit for it, and yeah, it was awesome. And then after I finished, I was like, now I'm going to New York, mom. Now, like, I think I took like some substitute teaching jobs, and I worked at Joe's Crab Shack trying to raise some funds so that I could move to New York. I think I was trying to do it that fall, but I said, you know what, let me go ahead and take these few months to raise some funds. And then in December of 2003, I decided to move to New York in December, the coldest winter they had in 100 years. With two suitcases and and barely a Parka Jack.
Oh, wow.
And boy, let me tell you, this little old country southern girl in the big city, there were some moments where I was this really the wisest choice, Jalen?
Right.
Thankfully, I moved in with Maggie Wilhite. Yes, uh-huh. Yes, big ups to Maggie. So moved up there with her, stayed for like a few months, and then Fosse actually ended up calling me back to go back out on the road. So I stayed a few months with Maggie and went back out with Fosse. I did May till August and then ended up going to England, a first time out of the country with the show and everything.
Wow.
So yeah, it was big girl pants were on.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then once the tour finished after that, I ended up coming back to New York to stay. And of course, that was another cold winter.
Right.
I got back. I think at that point I had never seen 18 inches of snow. I remember it well. I was in Brooklyn because one of the girls on tour said she was looking for a roommate. I moved in with her and I was in Brooklyn, stayed in our house for a solid week. I did not go anywhere because it was 18 inches of snow.
Yeah. Right.
I kind of learned the ropes, of course, after we got the survival jobs for a couple of years and everything, and sort of did things here and there, a small project, but nothing really big until I started doing cruise ships.
Right. So to walk us through that, yeah. Did you go to audition or do they call you? What happened?
Funny enough, oh gosh, what was his name? He was in the second leg of Fosse. We did the tour together and then he started working for Holland America. In his Holland America work, they wanted to put together a single with a party band kind of thing. So uh-huh. They have this 8-piece band and they're like, oh, let's put a singer with the band. And so I was sort of the experimental first round Hellcat singer. Hellcat as in Holland America Line. Hellcat. See how they did that there?
Uh-huh. I see what they did there. I see it.
See what they did? Yeah, that's all we're going to say about that. Anyway, so as the Hellcat singer, and I think there were three of us, and it was such an experimental thing. They basically wanted you to just sing with the party band, and the party band does about 5 hours a day every day. And I mean, I'm like singing for 5 hours a day every day, nonstop. I don't think this plan's going to work. So it was very experimental. I actually had to talk to the cruise director. And so we ended up working out some schedules and stuff. I completed my contract and then I did another one. And I mean, as great as the whole party band aspect was, every time I would go to see the production shows, I'm like, I know I should be there.
Right, like, right.
This party band singing thing is, it's a great way to see the world. And I'm like, I'll never trade it for anything. It was a great teacher as far as how to do that sort of gig. But at the end of the day, I need to be up on that stage. Middle child, I need to be on that stage so people can see me.
There you go.
So came back from second round with Hellcat right. singers. And Kwame Remy calls me. I knew him from just New York, being around a couple of people at Ripley Greer. That's what happened. At Ripley Greer for another audition, because when I came back, I was like, let me start getting back in the circuit. Came back, and he was at this place. He's like, you, come here. Fill this out and get in that room and audition. Sure, let's do it. So ended up going into the room, booking the Spirit with Norwegian Cruise Lines. And from then on, it was a magical relationship that I had with all of the people that were there, even behind the desk, on the desk. It was the start of a beautiful friendship.
Right.
It was actually great to be able to, you know, have that job security, so to speak, kind of going in and out. And I saw some amazing and beautiful places. I'd never been to sort of the European area. Got a chance to see that. I've never been to Alaska. Never really had the inclination to go to Alaska either, but I cruised there. So.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually really nice. Once we went dog sledding, it wasn't cold enough, so they were kind of like running around on the grass, which was very interesting to see because you're so used to them running on the snow. But we got to see them and we got to see they had little puppies that they were training the dogs. But it was actually one of the really cool little wilderness adventure I got a chance to see. And, you know, like pyramids, you know, I never would be able to.
There you go.
Be like, hey, guys, let's go see the pyramids, you know.
Right.
So it was really a great opportunity at the time. And yeah, that was my sort of ship life. And eventually that my friend Nicholas, who I mentioned earlier, he's like, you are never going to be able to get a gig here if you're never here.
Yeah.
Kind of like a moment. I think it was before I did After Midnight, I ended up doing Sisters, which was an off-Broadway musical.
Okay.
Here in the city. Now, Sisters let me tell you, it's a great starting point for me, I would say. It was a show that had the classic 70s, I Will Survive, and Stormy Weather, and like even did some Beyonce in the show. Like, it's a lot of current, you know, the storyline is these sisters coming together to clean out grandma's attic. So okay. You go in and you hear the stories about how it grew up in different times and just, you know, all the social and political things that were going on at the time, and talked about women's issues. And it's actually a really great, great show. And I remember going in, and the way that you learn that show is you're taking over for somebody. And the role that I was taking over for was Simone. And Simone never leaves the stage.
Oh, wow. Like, you were on stage the whole time.
Just a moment. Yeah. So I'm also going into a show where everybody else knows what they're doing. I was coming in to replace someone. And they give you a video, a script, and kind of guide you through a few things. But as far as like getting on that stage and doing it, it's very intimidating. But you can go head first into it. And that's exactly what I did. And I stayed there, I think it was about a year. It was every Saturday and Sunday 4:30 at the St. Luke Theater off Broadway. Such a good teaching moment for me as well, because we encourage people to talk back.
Oh, no.
Which, when you tell it to people, they really, there were some days where we're like, okay, let's calm down now. Everybody, girl, like just from the audience, it was like hilarious and amazing. I think that was probably the biggest thing that I was nervous about, because I'm going to forget my lines if somebody's like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we had those moments. Thank God I was a couple of months into the run, so I was secure enough. I think there was one time in particular I'll never forget. I actually, because I was sort of doing wedding singing at the same time, and I would do back-to-back things. There just came a time that I really ran myself ragged. So for the show on Sunday, for the 4:30 show, and I had no voice. None.
No voice.
Trying to like speak over my horse. The audience can definitely hear this girl ain't got no voice. Probably should have called out, but I don't think they had an understudy for me at the time, or like something wacky. But I ended up the midway point of the show. Thankfully, the show's only an hour and a half. I had no singing voice. So I was trying to maneuver the different girls in the show to be, can you sing this for me? And thank God they were like, yeah, sure, we got it. Yeah. And then at one point when I had to do I Will Survive, I had the audience sing for me.
Jalen, that is freaking brilliant.
And they loved it. They were so excited to do it. It was awesome. But yeah, it was, I'll never forget it. It was one of the first. So much fun, and it was so great. Such a learning experience. But yeah, afterwards, I think I went to do Indiana Beef and Board, Mamma Mia, and I came back, and then it was back to the old audition grind again. Uh-huh. And lo and behold, I get a tour called The Lightning Thief. I didn't know nothing.
It's Percy Jones and the Lightning Thief?
No, Percy Jackson.
Sorry,
yeah.
Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. I actually saw the movie in the theater years ago, like 2011 or something. That was really neat.
Let me tell you about Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. I knew of it. My agent was like, you have an audition on Thursday. And I think they always come in waves. Like, I'll be doing nothing for 2-3 weeks. And then all of a sudden I have like 5 auditions in a day.
Sure.
I think it was just one of those that was added in. So I didn't really think too much about it. And I went in and I could feel a good energy. You know, whenever you walk into a room and you feel a good energy, I was like, okay, I got this. Let's do this. And then I ended up getting the call back and they were like, learn these songs. So I was like, okay. And doing my due diligence, as I do, I researched the songs on YouTube and I saw one of them had like 700,000 views. And I was like, 700,000? What is this insanity? And even the other one had like over 500,000 views. I'm like, what is this craziness? And so then when I sort of researched what the show was and realized it was a book and realized it was like the Harry Potter of today, I was like, oh my gosh, fans are everywhere. This thing is big. So right. I was like, well, let me go in here and make sure I do my thing. But yeah, I still had like 3 other auditions that day, so I had to make sure I do my thing with that too. But it didn't really dawn on me until I booked the show how big it was. And so when I saw that, I was like, well, let me make sure that I know what I'm doing when I go.
Right.
So I read book one during the auditions, and when I met the other cast members, Kristen Stokes and Chris McCarroll, they were saying when they did the workshop and the off-Broadway run or whatever, that the fans are intense and they are everywhere. And I didn't realize how big it was until that moment. And I'm like, oh, wow. It was a little eye-opening, but then I'm ready for the challenge, you know?
Yeah.
Let's do this. And when I say the fans, they had artwork. They had little trinkets they would give us. They were so amazing. They really love the book. And it resonates with so many people. It even resonated with me that, you know, other kid in school who loved theater, you know. So the storyline itself, this kind of resonates with a lot of folks. And the fans, there are tons and tons of fans. So I want to thank them because they got us through. Let me tell you, they got us through. Everybody supporting and everything like that. So it was definitely a time where I was like, wow, let's get into it. And and that's all I thought it was, just like a tour and a show. And lo and behold, I was in Boston. It was the last 2 weeks actually at the end of our tour. And we were at the hotel and they called me. It was my, I call her Aunt Barbara, but Barbara Pasternak, producers of the show. Anytime producers come around, I always get a little nervous. But I was like, we're already at the end of the run, so I don't have to be scared.
Right.
But they called and were like, hey, you're going to Broadway. And I said, excuse me, what?
Oh, wow. Wow.
You've never been on Broadway. I was like, no.
Incredible.
I was like bawling, crying this moment after 18 years of trying to get there. And I wasn't even looking.
You get
a
random call saying you're going to Broadway. A random
call.
You thought it was the Hallcats calling you back on, but no. It was Broadway. How amazing is that? Jalen, I have chills from that. I'm not kidding. That is so freaking cool. So take us through the timeline. Okay, so you're in Boston, you get the call, and this was in 2018?
This was 19. We started the tour 2008, and then they were like, we open October 16th, you'll have a week of rehearsals in September, and then previews start. And we were like, wait, what?
Holy cats.
So basically, they were just like, you know the show well enough. It's fine. You've been doing it for these many months. But yeah, it seems all so fast and a dream almost because of how it happened. I think it was the first night of previews. I was like, finally.
I am here.
So long.
Tell us what theater it was at.
It was at the Long Acre Theater.
Okay.
Long Acre Theater is up on a street 46th and 8th. Like the crew that was there, the front of house that was there, like everybody that was there was so wonderful and special and amazing. I remember all of them fondly, just, you know, awesome people. And a lot of people talk about how they expect this from Broadway and expect that from Broadway. And I was just so thankful to be on that stage.
Yes.
And nothing else really mattered. Something that I worked a long, hard time to achieve is finally happening. We do stage combat and things like that and dancing in the show. So all of that really, I had to play a 16-year-old at one point, and I was like, baby, I ain't a 16-year-old no more, but I play one on stage. I'd go home, and it was so funny. I'd go home, and friend James, who was in the show with me, we would have like our Icy Hot. We had our BioFreeze. I had like an ice pack on the other. I had my little electrode machine on my shoulder. Like, I would go home looking like I'd gone to the hospital. Every night, though. Every night, just to maintain. Yes.
So then, Jalen, you guys are on top of the world. You're kicking so much butt with the Lightning Thief. And then COVID.
Well, actually, we closed in January. So it was a little before everything kind of shut down. Closed in January. And then, of course, you get back to auditioning because when one show closes, you still got to try to get that,
gotta
keep that bread
up
on the table. Honey.
There you go.
I went ahead and started auditioning again. And I'll never forget, it was March 12, 2020. I think I had two auditions that day, but the last one that I had was Hadestown, and it was at Pearl Studios. So I'm in there, and then all of a sudden, I start hearing, this is shutting down, because I also usher at the Hudson Theater, too.
Okay,
so
sure.
So I'm like, if I can't be on stage, I'll at least look at one. So I actually, we were supposed to start for the other show on the 13th, but then they were like, the meeting's canceled tomorrow, this is canceled, and I'm sitting at this audition about to go into Hadestown. I'm like, what is happening with the world? And I saw a couple of people I knew and we're like, I'm like, everything's going to be okay.
Right.
Then everything shut down. COVID shut down everything. And it was kind of a moment of, well, now what? Especially for me, because I had already been up in the air as far as like what's happening next. I didn't have anything lined up. You know, I have, of course, side jobs and everything like that, but I want to be on a stage. I want to be able to perform. And there was nothing. everything was shutting down. Few people were trying to do stuff here and there. We're in a pandemic. Health and safety comes first now. So for me, I was like, I have all these creative juices. I need an outlet.
Right.
So Heather, you remember Heather Hamar?
Yes.
Her last name. Yeah. She messaged me because she was putting something together. She wanted to put together like a little music video. And so when I did mine, I was like, wow, that was kind of fun, this little snippet part here. And so I said to myself, you know, it would be even more fun if I did something to sort of bring people out of the seriousness of the situation. Time Life Remembering videos. So I just made them all COVID themed and put together some stuff. Thankfully, my husband and his audio expertise
right.
helped me with the one of them. I put one together.
If I could explain to our listeners, what you did was a parody of an infomercial for a CD song set. Here's a clip.
Have yourself a COVID-free Christmas. Put your mask on right. Nothing brings back holiday memories like the songs and carols you know and love. And now you can have them all in one place while we try to keep our sanity this season. Jalen Sings presents Time Life's COVID Christmas Collection. Don't forget to wash your hands and keep gatherings quite small. Faithful friends who are dear to us can't be near to us, so let's video.
And it's yes. about COVID, and it's time, and then yes. life is spelled with a Y. Time Life presents yes. Jalen Steele Sings, and these yes. parody songs that you do, you know, people say, oh, I was R-O-F-L. No, for real, dude. I was R-O-F-F-L. I couldn't believe
yes.
how brilliant and so much fun. And the main thing is that I hope that you know is a lot of people, including myself, at times I try to stay on the positive, but yeah, you do get gray when
right.
you can't see your pals and
yeah.
your family, and
right.
that
right.
just
right.
turned it around. The first one, I went, I gotta watch this 14 more times. I hope she can't see me on the IP addresses, because she's gonna
times?
Think stalker much stalker
no.
I'm not telling you my address, stalker.
Not at all.
And
not
I just loved
all.
It. All of them I love so much. I'm sorry to interrupt. You got with your husband. So what's
yes,
your husband's
yes,
name, by the way?
Yes, it's Rondell Patterson.
So Rondell, all right, let's get to the tea, girl. How did you guys meet?
Yes.
And here's the question, Jalen. When did you know uh-huh. that Rondell was the one?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I met Rondell amidst my 10 contracts with Norwegian Cruise Line. I met this gentleman in the band Impact. And, you know, at first, I've always said I'm not dealing with musicians. I dated one for a while and kind of broke my heart. But I said to myself, you know what, no more musicians. I'm going to fall in love with some scientist or something. He's actually from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but he was a part of this band. And I'll never forget, I'm single. I'm on the mingle. You know, no one's, you know, tying me down. I think I sat and I talked with him for like almost an hour at this Christmas party that they had for the entertainment department. Just his intellect and his smile. He has such a beautiful smile, and just how heartwarming and caring he is. I think all of that played into my heartstrings. So we start dating a little bit on the ship, and then it came time for him to sign off. I think he signed off a month earlier than me, but I was like, okay, so how do you want to handle this? Are we still going to? And then he was like, we'll see. I was like, we'll
oh, wow.
see. What? So I don't know. I think that might have been one of the catalysts that made me love him harder. So, like, we continued to, like, talk on the phone and everything like that. And finally, he was doing one contract on a ship. I was doing another contract on a ship. And I was getting so sad because I was like, I don't know when I'm ever going to see him again. This is, like, getting a little difficult. And then, lo and behold, his band got a contract onto the ship that I was on. So I was like, okay, I think this is a pretty good sign.
This is serendipity.
That, yeah, I
okay.
need to go ahead and make this happen. So, yeah, from
and
then on.
If I can
kinda,
pry
like,
into
started-
your business, how did he propose?
Well, we really didn't have a proposed kind of moment other than when my ring arrived, because he started working for a very wealthy man playing piano for him. So he would go here and there and everywhere. And so a lot of it was long distance. But we were prepared for that. We do this and where we're going. And then suddenly we were kind of like, oh, what do you think about the whole marriage thing? I mean, it's good. Yeah. Very chill about it. But we kind of just knew that let's do this. Like, let's give this a try. I really, really love you. And you really love me. And he got my ring. He was actually, I think, in Switzerland at the time. And it arrived. It was so funny. He was just like, you have a package coming on this day. So make sure you let me know whenever you get it.
Yeah.
And it finally arrived. And he was like, call me. And then he's like, okay, I just want to see when you open the package. And I was like, okay. So I opened the package. And it's an engagement ring.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, oh, my gosh. Had I known, I probably would have been on the mailman. Where's my I got it. And I was like, yes, of course. There's a very blurry picture of me crying somewhere with my ring on.
Jen. So
that's how I was engaged virtually.
Wow. So you, Ronald, and the UPS engaged man made it happen.
Yeah.
There you go. So you guys officially got married 4 years ago?
It is four years. May 6th. We just celebrated our four-year anniversary. So
he's on tour right now, or he's in a different country.
He's in a different country at this moment, but he'll be back doing his thing, playing and doing his audio engineering whenever he comes home.
And so, Jaylin, so now we're, you know, people are getting vaccinated, the sun is coming out, it's been 16 months. I know things are so up in the air, but you've still had projects and things going on, you're always working. So what I want to know is, what do you see down the path? I know it's kind of foggy. Tell us what's going on.
It's extremely foggy because of the COVID situation, but I think I've come to a point, especially now that we're all vaccinated completely now, so I feel a little better about getting out there and doing some things. I'd actually just finished a project. It was a live stream of the show Titanic. It's basically a musical about the Titanic, sort of a parody musical. It stars Marla Mendel. She plays Celine Dion.
So it's based on the caricature of Celine Dion. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. As we travel through the time of the Titanic. So it's a hilarious, hilarious show. And the director was none other than Ty Blue.
Wow. Yeah. We all went to school together at SAM.
So he directed that.
A funny story, because I know your interview was all about me. When I was back and I was visiting Houston, this was back in 2011. I was actually staying at my parents'. Shout out to my mom and stepdad. Well, Jason Rivera, one of our very dear friends.
Yes.
He took me to a karaoke bar with drag queens, and it was fantastic. Yes. And Ty Blue was the manager at the time. I hadn't seen him since graduation, and it was so great. Hugs and kisses all around. He led us to this little VIP seating, and we're having so much fun.
Yes.
Well, then,
of course,
you know, I'm listening to the song, singing along, having so much fun, and I had just ordered a standard cocktail. Then my phone is going off, and it's my mom. And I excused myself and went outside because I thought, you know, she doesn't just call me for whatever, especially in the evening. Yeah. And I went outside. I said, Mom, what's going on? And she said, Obama is on the TV. They just got Osama bin Laden. I said, are you kidding?
No.
And I was just so happy. And I came back in. And right when I came back in, one of the performers said, hey, we have an announcement. Osama bin Laden is dead. And everybody cheered. And Ty came up to us and said, a drink on the house. What do you want? And I said, bring me a Long Island iced tea and some prayers and some Tylenol because I'm taking this down. It was just, that was, I think, the last time that I saw him. But very nice guy, very warm.
Oh, my gosh. And
very talented.
So nice to work with him because, I mean, as an amazing performer and singer as he is, directing is his niche. That is what
really
he does.
Fantastic.
So it was so nice. Yeah, it was so nice to go in there and have that wonderful, friendly, encouraging, brilliant energy that I had from way back in the day. And so it was great to be on the stage again, and it helped me to see, yes, the fog is lifting. So did that. And then also the Lightning Thief classes that I've been doing, Theater Works USA. Today is going to be the last day. We do the act like a demigod class. So there's a singing class, and there's a dancing class, and then there's an acting class. So we just sort of meet online, and then we go through the different projects. It's literally just a place for them to go and build the courage to perform in front of people, well, quote unquote, but, you know, sing songs and dance. And that's really kind of what's going on now. I don't know. Maybe there's a future in online teaching. We'll see. There's definitely the want to be on that stage again and perform and bring some joy to all those that get a chance to be in the audience. That's really where it's at right now.
So, Jaylynn, now with the future, my questions to you are, when are you putting out another Time Life? And serious question, girl, when are you putting out a freaking album, a real album? We all want it.
Okie dokie. Time Life is coming up. I'm, like I said, waiting on my husband to get back. He's my audio person, so I'm going to wait until he gets back. But it is in the works. I have everything written and ready to go up there. So that's coming soon. Now, album, I think it's just a matter of actually sitting down and doing it.
Right.
Maybe that'll be something I can do by the end of the year, sort of put that together. Anything is possible. Now, I really truly believe that. But I will say, if it is to come, you will be the first person.
I better be.
You will be the first.
Shoot, I better be on your album cover, just kind of standing in the corner waving. Yeah.
No worries.
Jaylynn Steele, Broadway star, singer, dancer, 16-year-old with BioFreeze.
Yes.
You are amazing. I want to thank you so, so much for sitting down with us on the Elocution podcast.
Aww, thank you for having me. And thank you for this lovely trip down memory lane. I really had to dust off some cobwebs, but I'm so glad that I did.
But seriously, Jaylynn, you are amazing. Thank you so, so much.
The same to you, my dear. You are amazing and wonderful. And thank you for having me.
Love you, girl.
Aww, love you.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.